Our text this morning is John 21, but I'm going to have you start in Matthew chapter 4. So take your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 4. In our text in John 21, we're going to see the last final conversation that we have on record between Jesus and Peter. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter 4 because before we see that scene, I want us to see the first call that Jesus gave to Peter. Peter, when he receives this first call, is certainly aware of Jesus. He had heard individuals say that Jesus was the Messiah. But in the verses that we're about to look at, we see the first invitation that Jesus extends to Peter. We read about it in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Jesus' call to his disciples is so well summarized in those two words: follow me. It's the invitation that would drive them for the rest of their lives. And they understood that the invitation to follow Jesus was not just a momentary step one of their relationship with Christ, but that it was an ongoing invitation that really drove the essence of their lives. In fact, later in Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus is teaching about the response that leads to salvation, Peter says, "Jesus, we've done it. We've left everything and followed you." Every step they took, they had left what was behind them and were continuing to pursue and follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is to walk in his footsteps, to follow his example, to obey his commands, to turn away from yourself and to turn towards him, to submit to him as Lord, to bow the knee to Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. And that's what his disciples did. Peter says, "We left it all behind to follow you. We turned away from our path to walk after you." Now, following Jesus is one way to describe the essence of the Christian life. And there are certainly others. There are other ways that we could describe the essence of the Christian life, but it is aptly summarized in the invitation from Jesus: follow me. That was Jesus' first call to the Apostle Peter. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In light of that, let's look at our text this morning. Turn over to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. This scene occurs after the resurrection. So we've just jumped from the very beginning of Peter's relationship with Christ to Jesus has died and been buried and rose from the grave. This is after the resurrection. We're at the very end, and this scene is the very end of John. It's the very end of Jesus' ministry. In fact, this is the last conversation that we have on record between Jesus and Peter. Now, Jesus is going to say other things still to the disciples at large, but as far as like Jesus speaking directly to Peter, is the last thing we have on record. And so, what we have here is the final command that Jesus personally gave directly to Peter. Look at the end of verse 19 in John 21. When he, that is Jesus, had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Look also at the last three words of verse 22. Jesus, still speaking to Peter, says, "You follow me." It's the last command we have directly from Jesus to Peter, and it's the exact same as the first command that he ever gave him. Isn't that interesting? The brackets around Peter's relationship with Jesus were an invitation. They were a command to follow. Jesus gave Peter so many commands over the course of his life. Jesus said a lot to Peter. He told him to do a lot of things. But I don't think it's an accident that all of those commands are bracketed by this command. It's interesting. The final time that Jesus told Peter to follow him may have been a bit surprising to Peter. I mean, the invitation to follow Jesus made sense in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Following Jesus, when he extended that invitation, following Jesus initially seemed to mean just like so literally to follow him. Like they dropped their nets and they just walked where he walked. They just followed after him. It was so literal. Come with me and I'm going to show you how to live. But in John 21, Jesus is about to leave. The command to follow here is a little bit surprising. Peter can't go where Jesus is about to go. It's more difficult to follow someone that you can't see. It's more difficult to follow a person when they're not there. And Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, which is why it's so important that we define following Jesus rightly. Jesus' call to follow is bigger than a literal just walk where I walk. And his disciples understood it as more than that. It's to follow his example, to turn from yourself to him, to bow the knee and to submit to Jesus as Lord. We left it all and followed you. That was the call that bracketed Peter's time with Jesus. It's a call that summarized the essence of Peter's walk with Christ. The Christian life is a lifelong pursuit of Christ. We are all following Jesus. It is a continual journey in which we are constantly and progressively following our Lord. The invitation to follow is not just given to Jesus' original 12 disciples. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 45, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What marks those who are a follower of Jesus is that they follow his example. They've turned from their self to him. They've denied themselves, take up their cross, and followed him. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. What marks those who are a part of Christ's flock is that they follow their shepherd. It's the first call that Jesus gives, and it's one that marks every day of a relationship with him. It's a lifelong pursuit, a daily journey in which we are seeking to walk in the footsteps and instruction of the Lord. Peter was to follow Christ. That invitation bracketed his time with Jesus. But following Jesus wasn't going to be easy for Peter. It wasn't going to be easy. There were several obstacles in the way of Peter's pursuit of Christ. Several obstacles that would make following Jesus difficult. Those obstacles are highlighted in this passage. Jesus highlights three obstacles for Peter. And we'll see those as we walk through these verses. I'm going to lay out for us this morning three obstacles from this text that Peter faces in his lifelong pursuit of Christ. To follow Jesus is a lifelong pursuit, and there will be obstacles in that pursuit. Peter faces three of them. As we see these obstacles, it's important for us to remember that we also will face obstacles if we're following Jesus. In fact, at some point, I'd venture to say that we will all face some form of these very obstacles that Peter's going to face. So we can all learn from Jesus' instruction to Peter in this text to equip him to follow well, because it's an invitation extended to every one of us. Three obstacles that Peter faces in his lifelong pursuit of Christ. The first in this passage is failures. failures. The first obstacle to Peter's following of Christ is failures. I'm going to read verses 15 through 17 of our text in John chapter 21. So when they, it's Jesus and the disciples, had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." You may hear those verses and ask, how do those verses communicate that Peter's obstacles in following Jesus were his failures? Well, to rightly understand what Jesus is doing in these verses, we need to back up a few chapters. I'm just going to summarize a lot that happens in the chapters that precede this scene. Back in John chapter 13, Jesus predicted his coming betrayal and death. He was in the upper room with the disciples, and he predicted that he was going to be betrayed and that he was going to be killed. And Peter asks him, where are you going to go? And Jesus responds to Peter, and he says, where I'm going, you can't come. You can't follow me where I'm about to go. And Peter says, why not? In fact, Peter's bold enough to say, I'll follow you anywhere and everywhere. He even says, I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter is fiercely committed to Jesus. But he does not know just how weak he is. He doesn't know that in the moment of temptation, how difficult it will be to remain a faithful follower of Jesus. Fast forward to John 18. Jesus is under trial. He's been betrayed, led away, and he's now under trial before the high priest. Peter and John follow Jesus. The disciples are scattered, but Peter and John follow. And they're in close proximity to where Jesus is being interrogated. They're probably just outside the room where he's being questioned. And some people that are around start to recognize Peter. A slave girl says, "Are you one of his disciples?" And he says, "I am not." And then there's a group by the fire. It's a cold night, and Peter is warming himself. And they ask as well, aren't you one of his disciples? He says, "I'm not." And then there's another slave who was in the garden when Jesus was betrayed and saw what Peter did there. And this slave says, "I saw you in the garden with him." And he says, "I swear, I don't know the man." And then the rooster crows. Peter denied Jesus three times. And a few hours later, Jesus is crucified. Now we return to John 21, after Jesus' resurrection. Now, to be clear, Peter has seen Jesus prior to this scene. We don't have any details about the direct interactions that Peter had with Jesus, but he had had at least some time with Jesus post-resurrection. But in that seemingly very brief time, the disciples were told to go to Galilee and wait on a mountain where Jesus would meet them there. And they go to Galilee and they wait, and seemingly, perhaps Peter gets tired of waiting. We don't really know. But at some point, Peter says, "I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." And six other disciples join him. And they get in the boat, and they return to their old job. They fish all night, and they catch nothing. And then Jesus shows up on the shore. You can read about this in the beginning of this chapter in John 21. Jesus shows up on the shore. The author tells us that the boat was about 100 yards out, so they see someone on the shore, but they don't know who it is. Jesus calls out to them and says, "Cast your nets on the other side," and they do, and they catch fish. They catch so many fish that they can't bring the nets up onto the boat. And at that moment, John looks at Peter and he says, "That's Jesus." And Peter throws himself into the water and he swims 100 yards to go and get to Jesus. Now again, Peter has interacted briefly with Jesus. We don't have any record of those conversations. I just want us to note that when Jesus shows up on the shore, this isn't just Peter saying, "Oh, it's Jesus again. We can go spend some more time together." Peter is desperate to get to Jesus. He's desperately swimming to see his Lord. He gets to the shore, and now he sits with Jesus for breakfast. The rest of the disciples are with him. And it's at this point that Jesus, right after breakfast, it appears that he and Peter kind of go for a walk. And during that conversation, he asks this shocking and penetrating question. Look at verse 15. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" It's a fascinating question. First, note that Jesus, he's singling Peter out. He has a mission in this conversation, and it centers on Peter. Let's ask, what exactly is Jesus asking Peter here? "Do you love me more than these?" There's a lot of theories about what the "these" are when Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" There's a lot of theories, but really every reliable commentator on this text agrees about what Jesus is asking Peter. He's asking Peter if he loves Jesus more than the other disciples do. He's asking Peter if he loves Jesus more than the other disciples do. Now, that may seem like a strange question, but it reflects what Peter himself has claimed. It reflects what Peter has claimed. Back in John 13, when Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him, Peter said, "Not me." He said, "Everyone else might, but I'm not." Peter claimed that he would be the last one standing. He was claiming to be supremely loyal to Christ. So in this text, Peter responds, and again in verse 15, he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus responds at the end of verse 15 and says, "Tend my lambs." It's an interesting response. Jesus is telling Peter, "Take care of my people. Lead my church. Watch over and protect and shepherd those that I am going to entrust to you." Jesus, in this scene, is commissioning Peter for the rest of his life. Peter is going to have a fundamental role in the building of the church, the establishing of the body of Christ under the leadership of Christ himself. Jesus says, "Here's your job. Here is how you carry out your love for me. Here is how you obey. You claim to love me more than anyone? Then tend my lambs." Obedience for Peter was to lead the church. And Jesus' message is this: if you love me, then obey me. If you love me, carry out this task that I'm giving you. Tend my lambs. Now, seemingly, that could have been the end of the conversation. It's a pretty simple conversation. But interestingly, it's not. Look again at verse 16. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." That's an identical conversation, a few different words, but identical conversation had a second time. Why did Jesus do that? It's a strange conversation, but Jesus isn't done yet. Look at verse 17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." It's the exact same conversation had a third time. But one detail is added in the third time that Jesus rehearses this. After Jesus asks a third time, we're told that Peter was grieved. Why was Peter grieved? Well, the text actually tells us. The text says in verse 17 that he was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" It was the third repetition that grieved Peter. Why is that? Peter was not grieved when he repeated the question a second time. He was grieved when he asked it a third time. The answer is because Peter denied Jesus three times. And so now, three times, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. And Peter doesn't, in the beginning of this scene, he doesn't initially understand the gravity of Jesus' question. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. And the third time, do you love me? And then Peter says, oh. Peter recognizes and grieves that his actions have told a different story than his claims to love Christ. Peter failed. He failed. But what I want us to note in this text is that despite Peter's failures, Jesus does not dismiss him. Notice that Jesus' only response to Peter's failure is that he calls him to obey. He doesn't say, Peter, you missed your chance to lead the church. He says, Peter, you failed, now obey. I mean, we aren't there in the text yet, but verse 19 is coming. A renewed invitation to follow Jesus despite the failures of his past. Jesus is identifying Peter's failures in this text, but he's about to tell him, follow me. The fact that Peter failed does not keep Jesus from inviting him to continue to follow. Jesus says, Peter, you denied me, but the invitation is open. It's always open. Follow me, even after failure. Peter had been following Jesus for 3 years, and then he utterly failed to remain faithful in a climactic moment. But Jesus continues to extend this same call that he started with on day one. Keep following me, Peter. Again, following Jesus is not a one-time decision. After Peter falls, he has to make the decision again to get up and to keep on following. And he can only do that because Jesus is a forgiving Savior. He does not hold Peter's failures against him. He forgives and gives a new opportunity to obey. Like Peter, we all must make the continual, ongoing, daily decision to keep following Jesus. And the enemy will use our failures to try to dissuade us from following. He is, one of Satan's labels is that he is the accuser. And one of his strategies as accuser is to cause us to think that we're too far gone, that our failures are too much, and that we have no business continuing to follow Jesus. One of my favorite hymns, Before the Throne of God Above, the author writes, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, that's that role as accuser. He tempts me to despair, to lose hope because I'm guilty, because there's sin, because I fail. It's what Satan does. He convinces us to despair and lose hope because of guilt. But the songwriter continues, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and I see him there who made an end to all my sin. Jesus forgives. He forgave Peter and he forgives us. Not just initial forgiveness, but daily, ongoing forgiveness for our failures as followers. So Jesus says to Peter and to us, make the choice. Continue to commit yourself to me. Continue to follow me despite your failures. When the enemy uses your failures to dissuade you from remaining committed to Jesus, don't believe that lie. Recognize it as a lie and know that Jesus offers forgiveness and that he continues to extend the invitation. Follow me despite your failures. That's Peter's first obstacle. But there are more in this passage. Three obstacles that Peter faces in his lifelong pursuit of Christ. The first is his failures. The second obstacle is persecution. Persecution. This is in verses 18 and 19, and this conversation goes, I think, from strange to stranger. Now, this is the section of the text, verses 18 and 19. At the end of this is where Jesus is going to say, follow me. It's where that he revisits that first call that he gave him. He's going to say it at the end of verse 19. But before Jesus tells Peter to follow him, he says what I think are some unexpected things. Look at verses 18 and 19. Jesus still speaking here, same conversation. Your Bibles may split this up as if it's two different conversations, but it's not. Same conversation. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus is encouraging Peter in these verses to follow him. But he precedes that call in verse 18 with some really odd statements. The call to follow is preceded by some really odd statements. Let's break this down. Look again at verse 18. It starts, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. What's Jesus talking about? He says, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. You did what you wanted. You wore what you wanted. You dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted to go. But then he continues. He says, but when you grow old, here is Peter's future. When you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. So in your future, he tells Peter, you will not dress yourself. You will stretch out your hands, and you will be led where you don't want to go. What on earth? What is this? What is this about? Well, verse 19 helps us understand what Jesus is saying here. Look back at verse 19, where we're told, now this, these odd statements by Jesus, this he said, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. So those comments in verse 18 are Jesus explaining to Peter how he's going to die. Jesus telling Peter how he's going to die. He says, you're going to stretch out your hands. You'll be dressed by someone else and taken where you do not want to go. Now, church history tells us, historical tradition tells us that Peter was crucified. The Bible doesn't say that explicitly, but I would say this verse comes pretty close. This verse comes pretty close. It doesn't explicitly say that Peter's going to be crucified, but it seems to indicate it. What it certainly indicates is that in following Christ, Peter is going to die. So Jesus tells Peter what's coming. Here's how you're going to die. And then he says, follow me. Here's how you're going to die. Follow me. I just find these verses to be stunning and fascinating. I mean, if we were to sit down and draw up what we think Jesus should say to Peter to get him to follow him, we definitely say, just skip verse 18. Right? Just skip verse 18. Tell him to tend the sheep, emphasize your forgiveness of his failures, and then tell him to follow you. Imagine this is like, you're buying an expensive car and you go to a car dealership and the salesperson tells you, this vehicle has serious safety concerns. You're going to die if you drive this car. Buy it. Right? No one would ever do that. But that feels exactly like what Jesus does here to Peter. Peter, you are going to die a painful death. Follow me. Peter, as a follower of me, you will be crucified like me. Follow me. Peter, it's going to cost you your life, but follow me. Regardless of the pain and the difficulty and the persecution and the homelessness and the poverty and the lack of comfort and the opposition, follow me. Why does Jesus say this? I think it's because Jesus doesn't want followers who follow because it's easy. Jesus wants followers who follow because they love the one they're following. Do you love me more than these? Here's what's coming. Follow me. There may be any number of costs that could dissuade us from continuing to follow Jesus. But the amazing realization that followers of Jesus recognize is that what we are giving up to follow him isn't actually worth anything. What we give up to follow Jesus isn't actually worth anything. To not follow Jesus because of what it costs is like the proverbial child who rejects the $100 bill because they like how the penny feels in their hands. You're clinging to what is worthless and sacrificing what has actual value. Yes, it costs us to follow Christ, but what it costs doesn't really matter from an eternal perspective. And Peter knows that. I mean, Jesus gives the worst sales pitch ever, and Peter follows him. He follows him. Jesus says, you're going to die. Follow me. And how this story ends is Peter follows Jesus because he knows that what he's giving up doesn't matter from an eternal perspective. The persecution and Peter's failure did not dissuade him from following Jesus. And that's not just Peter. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Peter faced persecution, and Peter saw many followers of Christ face persecution. In fact, I want to show you something over in a letter that Peter wrote over in 1 Peter. If you turn in your Bibles over to 1 Peter, right after Hebrews and James, First Peter chapter 2. This is several years later. Several years later, Peter would write a letter that would be passed around to many churches, and of importance, these churches are being persecuted. They're going through the persecution that Jesus said lies in the future of those who would follow him. And in that letter, listen to what Peter said to those churches. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Peter, the one who Jesus said these words to in John 21, writes this. He tells these churches, you've been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Jesus suffered, Peter says in this text, in part to give us an example for how to suffer. He suffered, leaving us an example so that we could follow in his footsteps. Jesus told Peter, if you follow me, you will die. Follow me. And Peter writes to these churches and he says, Jesus gave the example of how to follow him faithfully in the persecution that comes to those that follow Christ. Jesus gave himself as an example of how to suffer while we follow him. Peter knows what's coming, and he keeps on following. There may be difficult days ahead, but keep on following. Don't believe the enemy's lies that it's not worth it. Jesus tells Peter what's coming because he wants him to know that it is worth it. It is worth it. And you will face failures, and you will face opposition and persecution, but keep following Jesus. Turn back to John 21. One more obstacle that Peter faces in this journey. He faces failures. He faces persecution. And third, number three for us this morning, is that he faces the fear of isolation. The fear of isolation. I've lost control of PowerPoint, so if you could jump forward to number three, that'd be helpful. Peter faces the fear of isolation. Now, story's not done yet. This story ends well. It ends well. Peter's going to follow. But before he does, he has one more incredible, kind of just like Peter-esque moment. He's been extended this invitation. Follow me. Here's what's coming. Follow me. You're forgiven. Surely, by now, he's eager to receive that. Surely, he's ready to commit to continuing to follow Jesus. Let's keep reading. Start in verse 20. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who had also leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Let's stop there for a second. Verse 20 is a really long way of saying Peter looked at John. Okay, so John's identified two ways in that verse. The disciple whom Jesus loved, that's how John's referred to in the Gospel of John. John is the one who leans back on Jesus when Jesus identifies his betrayer in the upper room. So verse 20, Peter looks at John. Peter looks around and he sees John following them. Again, it seems like Jesus and Peter are going on a walk here because John is kind of trailing behind them. He's following them. He looks back and he sees John. And keep reading. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? All right, so get this. Jesus says, again, we just reviewed this. Jesus says, Peter, you're going to die. Follow me. And Peter's first response is to look around and say, what about John? What about John? Peter literally responds to Jesus' statement. He says, I'm going to die? Shouldn't John have to die too? Imagine being John in this moment. Right? You're like, I don't know. They're going on a walk and John's just kind of like trailing behind. And you're listening to Jesus tell Peter this incredible scene. You know, he's forgiven. He's going to die in following Jesus. And you're thinking like, wow, this is a heavy moment. And the next thing you hear is Peter saying like, John's got to die too, right? Peter's inclination in deciding to keep following Jesus is the same as what ours often is. It's to look around and to see what others are doing. To look around and see what it costs everyone else. It's easy to be bold. It's easy for me to be bold when people around me are being bold. It is hard to step out on your own. When asked to do something costly, there is just something in all of us. It's in us, it's in Peter. When asked to do something costly, there is something in all of us where we just become the judge of all fairness. I remember as a child, I was one of five children, and every once in a while, a parent would single me out and ask me to do a chore. And, you know, when everyone else is relaxing and you're singled out and asked to do the chore, you just feel like, me? You know, five kids in our family, I had an 80% chance of dodging this bullet, and you selected me? Mom or dad is saying, Adam, can you take out the trash? And I'm like, what about this sister? She gets to enjoy her life? This is an injustice. And that, like, that's what Peter does here. That's what Peter does here. Look at Jesus' response in verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" Peter looks at John and he says, "Peter, don't worry about John. It doesn't matter. What he does or what is asked of him has no bearing on you." This is an incredible statement by Jesus. He says, "I may keep him alive until I come back." Jesus, he's like almost taunting Peter here a little bit. He's like, he may never die. What a statement by Jesus. In fact, his disciples misunderstood what Jesus said when he said, if I keep him until I come back, what is that to you? You know, his point was, it's none of your business, Peter. But look at verse 23. "Therefore, that saying went out among the brethren, that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" They thought John was never going to die because Jesus said this. Again, quite the whiplash for John, right? He goes from being absolutely sold out by Peter to thinking like, "Oh, I guess I'm never going to die." What's this all about? Jesus is telling Peter not to worry about anyone else. Look again at verse 22. "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" The call to follow Jesus is a personal call. It's a personal call. Jesus says, "You follow me." Peter, follow me. Don't worry about what it costs others. Don't worry about your friends or your family or the crowd. Don't worry about John or Thomas or Andrew or Philip. Peter, you follow me. And that same invitation is extended to each one of us. The call to follow Jesus is a personal call. And because of that, when Peter decides to follow Jesus, it's between him and Jesus. He's not looking around. Jesus says, "Peter, this is between you and me." He makes the decision in isolation. Others may hesitate to follow Christ. Others may seek you back, may seek to hold you back in following Christ. And like Peter, we may be tempted to look around and make sure that we are not giving more than anyone else. And to that, Jesus says, "What I require of them is no concern to you. You follow me alone." And yes, there are relationships on the other side of following Jesus as you find others that are following Christ. But the decision to follow Christ is personal. It is a decision that you make alone. And so we say, come what may. Persecution or isolation, come what may. If I go alone, I'll go alone. But I'm following Jesus. We aren't told how Peter responds in this moment. The story's over. It's the end of the story in John 21. But I want to fast forward about roughly 25 days after Jesus' ascension in Jerusalem. The disciples are all together. Jews from all over were gathered together for religious celebration in Jerusalem. And Peter sees an opportunity. And from among the disciples, Peter stands up and he raises his voice and he declares to all who could hear him the gospel message. And he ends pleading with everyone to repent of their sin because of the work of Christ, to follow Jesus. And many do. And you know what Peter starts doing? Feeding Christ's sheep, tending his lambs. Peter followed Jesus. There were obstacles. But he wasn't dissuaded by isolation, the fear of isolation or persecution. He didn't let his failures deter him. He followed Jesus to death. Peter made mistakes. Even after John 21, he made many mistakes. He faced persecution. He was killed. I'm sure even beyond this first moment of this fear of isolation, there was more isolation that he felt along the journey. But he didn't turn back. I want to read to you the last words that we have on record that Peter ever wrote. From 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter penned these words shortly before his death. At the end of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the final words we have from Peter, he's encouraging the churches with this. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. At the end of his life, what Peter was still doing is begging others, grow in him. Know Jesus more. He's telling others that Jesus gets all the glory and that it's all about Jesus. Keep following him. The brackets around Peter's time with Jesus on earth were the invitation to follow and to keep on following, no matter what it costs. Peter heeded that call. And I pray that by God's grace, that we'll all do the same and keep doing it every day. Father, thank you for the invitation to follow. Help us to follow you and to keep on following. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.